You know that ridiculous way pet owners talk to their animals?
Who's my boy? You want a potty for daddy?
Yeah, he's the best dog in the world.
Yeah, you won't hear any of that here. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And we have with us in the studio for this segment, Michael Borchardt, who is the manager of the Reptile and Small Animal Department at Pruce Pets in Old Town. And welcome to the show, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Michael, when it comes to dealing with small animals and reptiles, they too have to go through an acclimation period when it comes to either coming into your store from where it is that you buy them from, or when the customer buys them and brings them to their home, or even when I've got them in my home, but maybe I'm coming back to school and I want to bring them with them to my apartment or something like that. So can you kind of talk about what are some of the things that you suggest to people to properly acclimate the animals? What is it you're doing at Pruce's when you first get them, and what should the public do to keep the animals as healthy and strong as possible?
Absolutely. It's so difficult to talk to the animals, you know, although I try as I can.
He does a really good job. It's all nonverbal communication.
Well, unfortunately, Dr. Doolittle does have a patent.
But whether it's coming into the store or moving to another apartment or house, that type of situation, all the animals are going to go under a stress, and we can't really coddle them in the respect of explaining what's going on. So it's important to know what happens, with an animal and in a new situation, and what we can do to help kind of settle them and get them well acclimated to a new situation. With the small animals, mammals, that type of thing, diet change is something that we need to consider. They come from different places, whether they come from people's homes or from distributors, that type of thing. We need to look at their diet and try to mix it in if we can, if it's a different diet than what we have at the store, as well as trying to give them places where they can feel comfortable, hiding places. With the reptiles, they a lot of times come in dehydrated. They've been shipped many miles across the land and sea sometimes, and important to make sure that they get rehydrated. I always soak the animals, basically just giving them a warm water bath, making sure that they drink, and then having an environment that they can go into that's nice and warm, appropriate temperatures.
Interesting. And when it comes to the outward signs, how do you know when the animal is expressing that it is going through the stress? Is it a heavy breathing? Is there a feel to the skin? I mean, what are the signs that the public can look for to know that, oh, my goodness, I've got an animal? I mean, we talked about fish, and you can see the respiration rate of the fish usually is a sign of, oh, my goodness, there's stress here. Sure. But I would imagine with a ferret or with a rat or with an iguana, I mean, how do you know that these animals are undergoing these stresses?
It can be difficult, especially with the small animals, because their thought process is to hide any signs of stress, to save themselves from being eaten, you know, in the wild, that type of situation. So with the small animals, the mammals, we look for loose stools, basically, change in that. Them hiding or cowering in the corner, shivering, that kind of thing. That's to be expected, but definitely don't want that to be too prolonged. With the reptiles, watching eating habits. Say for the bearded dragon, which is a cricket eater, they should be jumping right down in the tank when the crickets hit. They shouldn't really be pausing. So if you don't see that good feeding response, that's something to be concerned about.
And I think one thing you want to think about is, one thing we've learned, and it you know, it didn't take us too many years, but it took us maybe a dozen years to really commit to this cause. We just make the assumption, because we can't talk to them, that they are going through stress. And so if you're moving the animal from home to a cottage, if you're bringing them to school, make the assumption literally that they are going through stress, and then go through the protocols necessary. And Michael's particularly good at doing that at our store. In fact, I would say that the leader of our store with respect to the reptile and small animal department and what we do and how we do it has always been Michael. He has had this really warm heart and feeling for the animal and what they're all about and what they're going through. And so he's actually been the one that's developed that protocol and what we do at the store.
Interesting. And what kind of time span do you typically think that people need to give for the animals to really acclimate and become normal? I mean, I'd imagine it's different depending on the type of animal.
Absolutely. Each animal is going to be different. We'll treat them all in, as individuals and watch them and voice our concerns if need be. But I would say with on average, when they come into the store, the small animals have a minimum of 1 week that they're at the store before I try to find homes for them, sometimes 2 weeks or more, depending on how they're doing and how they're settling in. With the reptiles, it's different on each case, but to the, on average, it's a 2 week minimum time that they're at the store. With our snakes, we like to get two feedings that are consecutive before they go out to the customer, make sure they're eating well and a good feeding pattern. And then the wild-caught animals, which is a very small percentage of what we carry, but they do come in with parasites and nematodes, things like that we have to treat for. So sometimes that can take a good month, month and a half to really take care of.
And one thing to think about is for reptiles or small animals, he can talk a little bit about what we tell the customer when they bring them home. Because remember, this is a whole new face, you know, whether it's in this department or the bird department. Unfamiliar surroundings and unfamiliar faces. These are, depending on the department, especially in the bird department, but even to a lesser extent, but a serious, you know, but an important extent in the small animal department, and even in a, in maybe a lesser extent, but even still an important extent. This is a whole new face that they're looking at. And this is a whole, they don't know that they just have little appreciation for your love, your open-hearted warmness, you know, so they have to get acclimated to that. So
absolutely.
Maybe you can comment a little bit about when they go home, what do you tell people?
Sure.
There?
Yeah, being that they had just settled into our store and gotten used to the sights and smells and sounds of what's going on there, then the customer takes them home and again has to resettle the animal and get them used to all those new sights and sounds. Generally with the small animals, I'll recommend 3 to 4 days of just letting the animal be in the cage and getting used to the new surroundings, the sounds that are going on. And we'll also recommend for a lot of them to have the customer scent mark a piece of cloth, whether it be an old washcloth or a little towel, have them sleep on their pillow. That way they get their scent transferred to it, put it into the area with their new animal. As the animal's adjusting to the new environment, they're getting used to the smell of their owner as well in the most comforting spot in this space. I usually tell people put it in the hiding place. And then when they go to handle it for the first time on the fourth or fifth day, whatever it may be, they use that towel to comfort it, and that can usually make the transition go even better.
Interesting. So Charles Schultz was onto something with Linus's blanket, that security that comes from the comfort really does make a difference for animals.
And really, Linus, if you think about it, that cloud of dirt and everything.
No, that's Pigpen.
Oh, that's Pigpen. Thank you. Well, that, too, is an important part. You know, you don't think about, you know, with these animals, they're much more, they have more ability to know the world differently than you and I, from scent, smell,
right,
visual, and even chemicals in the air that they can pick up with reptiles with certain receptors on their tongue.
Right.
You know, those, you know, it's a whole different dynamic. So all of those things you want to think about.
Interesting. Well, let me ask you this question, because it's interesting, because when you think about dogs and cats and you're in a changing environment, sometimes when they're very young, they have an easier time adapting to a new environment than an older animal that's been in an environment for a very long time. How does age affect the ability to acclimate these animals? I mean, is there a certain age beyond which you don't want to even sell an animal to somebody because you're waiting until it reaches a certain point? I mean, help me understand that dynamic.
Sure. I don't find that there's really a certain cutoff age at all. And I would say that with the mammals, the older ones may have a little bit better or a little bit harder time at it, being that they've been established in a situation for a while. But again, we can look for signs of how they're doing eating wise, output, that type of thing, is, and see how they're doing and adjust to help them with that. The reptiles, I would say, generally, if you're heating the environment correctly, giving them the food, they're not as affected. I would say the older reptiles aren't.
And I'd say to a certain extent that's the case. We have cats that we sell, and when they're younger, you know, it's especially if you're going to take a cat and put it in with a house with other cats, it's really tough because those are the things that they really lift their hair up about. You know, if there's another adult cat in the house, the adult cat that's there is very particular when you bring another adult home.
Yeah, territory.
But when it comes to a kitten, you know, the kitten just has a way of like, well, whatever, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that, you know. And in the bird department, it is one of those things where as they get older, you know, they are a little more opinionated. I mean, they have the right to be a little more opinionated. So just like we have, you know, whether it's even with people, when we acclimate to new surroundings, you know, different adults figure out how to get along together. And with birds, even if they're a little older, they figure out how to get along together. But it's a different acclimation process, and you have to think a little bit differently than you would a young bird. So right. A younger bird might have a different path that you go through, and it's just mainly exposure, exposure, exposure. With an older bird, you know, you need to make sure you're taking, you know, the extra thought of what is this guy thinking there? What are his natural defenses, and how can you release those natural defenses?
Right. We're talking with Michael Borchard, who is the manager of the Reptile and Small Animal Department for Pruce Pets. One of the things that I noticed, and again, I'm going back to my college years, I had a roommate who had an iguana. And he kept them in a very large aquarium, and there was a number of rocks and different things to create a comfortable environment. And he would move all of that in the actual aquarium so that there was a comfort zone for the iguana, whether it was at his house or it was in our apartment. Is it the same thing that you recommend where, like with the aquariums, where we try and keep as much of the existing environment together as we can? Or as Rick, you mentioned, some people like to do housekeeping and change everything out. Is that not something that they should do?
With reptiles, it's not as important with keeping the environment in the same space and moving the animal in that environment. I usually recommend put the animal in a situation where it feels secure, that either could be a box or a smaller aquarium, something like that. And then you can break down the environment, take everything out, clean it, and then reset up. Once we get to the new space, though, it's very important to set it back up where they have the basking sites that are appropriate, temperatures and that type of thing. And then while they're traveling, keeping the temperature appropriate, using hot water bottles if necessary, if it's a long trip, thermometers that we can transport with them to keep an eye on that.
Okay. Interesting. Rick, after the break, we're going to continue our conversation about acclimating your pets right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.